Welcome, everybody, to Comically Exposed. We're so happy to be back. I am Gabby Blackman, and this is my co-host,
Heather Nye.
Woohoo! Okay, so, yeah, it's episode 28, right?
Yeah, 28, we're back.
Probably.
If we can count.
And we're not promising that we can count.
No.
It's been a heck of a doozy of a 2025, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. She's something. She's something. So our apologies for taking a bit of a hiatus, but I'm sure you're also feeling the reasons. Anyway, Comically Exposed is a podcast about comedy, and it's a podcast about OCD / mental health in general, and process.
Yes.
Yeah. Shout out to my friend Adam for pointing that out. It is a podcast about process.
Yeah, we're stealing that tagline.
Yeah, heck yeah, we are. I love that. So how's your process been, Heather?
It has been... Well, it just depends, because it's hard to like pinpoint it, because there's a lot has happened since we last spoke, being recorded. I mean, we speak all the time, we text and stuff like that, but you know, but not recorded. Sorry to everybody's dismay, not listening to every little thing that we talk about. But yeah, no, it was a nice break. The break first initiated by me by a little bit of burnout, and trying to balance out working on my shit and working on the podcast shit. So, that was the balancing act. And so I, kind of trying to figure that out. Also, I was trying to figure out what kind of projects I wanted to work on. Because I still don't really know, but, I've been assessing and I've been trying on different things. Like, do I want to continue writing scripts like TV screenplays or whatever? And or do I want to get back into like writing short stories or just doing silly sketches? You know, that's the other thing is, you know, going through that kind of haphazardly and trying to figure out how that works. And so, that's kind of what I'm working on. But
nice.
Yeah. How about you, Gabby?
What
have you done lately?
What have you done for me lately? Well, I don't want to move on to be just quite yet because I have some questions for you.
Okay, questions.
Because I think both of us were kind of in the same spot when we started this podcast. Yes. And we were both kind of like, how do we become TV writers to some extent? Mm-hmm. And then... I don't know what it's been like for you, but it's kind of like with streaming kind of pulling back their investments into new projects. And then there was the strikes, and then there was, it just seemed like whatever idea I had of what writing on a TV show, because really what I wanted was to be around a team of people. Mm-hmm. That was working together to build something creatively.
Yeah.
Same. And then also I wanted to like have that focus be comedy, you know, like we're all trying for jokes and we're all like giving each other thoughts and opinions on, oh, that joke could be funnier if you just did that like this, or, you know, just spitballing ideas or something. All of that sounded ideal to me. And then to find out that writers' rooms now are not big at all, if they even exist. And, you know, most of the time the writers are fairly isolated and then come back together. And I'm just like, well, what is the point of that? You know, that doesn't sound like fun. So I don't know. What is your process been?
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry. I jumped through because I'm like, yeah, we're getting in it. Yeah. And then I'm just like saying everything all at once.
Great.
Yeah. I guess I have a similar effect because like it sounds like right now it's a little bit harder. Or not a little bit. It's always been difficult to become to be new in TV writing. Mm-hmm. And unless you've written something that everybody's in love with, you know, it's really hard to get in. And so for me, it's like, I think my new approach is like, not, even though I would love to be in a team where you get to work with a lot of creative people and getting to develop stories together, I would love that. But I feel like right now I kind of want to own my stuff a little bit more, just so I can have my creative voice show a little bit. And mm-hmm. whether or not that fits with other people, that's fine. But I don't know. It's kind of, it's difficult, because when you're trying to start out and you're new, but you have a lot of experience under your belt, you know, in other things. So it's kind of difficult to be that kind of fresh faced person from in their 20s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And coming into it without any sort of experience. Okay, what do I want? Like, what do I right? want? I want to be able to create things, and I want to be able to creatively output something that gives me pleasure. That's essentially what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And I've worked in a field in the past where it was incredibly creative, especially in school, like a lot of freedom. But then when I got into the career, I felt myself being pulled towards something that I didn't want to do. And I was no longer getting any sort of like pleleasure or like intellectual kind of like, you know, stimulation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so after a while, it just felt like I can already see the steps. I can already see the things. And so I'm just like, you know, and
yeah.
And it was funny because it took somebody else that I worked with to show me that they got pleasure from the work that they were doing, and they were finding it in other ways and the stimulation that they were looking for. But they were also just saying what they wanted and kind of doing it. So I don't blame the industry that I left, but I did make me discover that I was looking for something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to explain it. Like something that just kind of feels like it comes from a place of like art or a place of creativity or, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm losing myself again. Like, it's too many things that I'm thinking. This is a good question, Gabby. You've just unlocked like so much in my brain.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to answer it all now.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's the other thing. It's like, you asked me one point. It's like, what do you want to be for the rest of your life? The
rest of your life. And you cannot change. Yes. So pick perfectly the first
And you time. Have to have the right answer right in the moment. And you cannot change that answer ever.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Total tangent, but that unlocked something for me. So and this kind of goes to what do I want and what mm-hmm. do I want to be doing creatively and stuff like that. But so very briefly, I did stand up this past weekend. It's the second time that I've done stand up. It went incredibly well. I'll talk about it more in a second. But because I've wanted to be a stand up, I would say since I was 9 years old, since the first time I saw stand up, mm-hmm. I have a fear of failure at it, so then I don't want to try, right?
Yeah.
And so I have this like want to bomb as sort of an exposure, so I'm no longer afraid of it, so it doesn't hold me back from going out and doing the thing that I love. So last night in my dream, I fully bombed.
Oh.
Yeah. I like was on a, you know, it was like a pretty stacked show of like comics I really love. Like I think Mateo Lane was one of the comics, you know. Anyway, and I got up there and I just fucking stunk. And I could not get the audience to, you know, interact with me at all. And it was like, you know, worse than booing. It was just like silence, you know. And
the silent judgment.
Yeah.
You're terrible.
Totally. I'm just kind of like, ugh, when's this one going to get off the stage? Aww. You know, like that kind of thing. Yeah. And it was really hard. I don't know if my brain is trying to help me or hurt me by mm-hmm. putting me through that, because, you know, it isn't actually the event.
Yeah.
But that's pretty hysterical. That just happened last night.
Yeah, you do have OCD, by the way. So
what?
Didn't I tell you?
No. You've been holding out this whole time. Yeah. So I would say that, like, my big things are, I'm with you. It's kind of like, okay, so if the TV writing thing in the writer's room is not an actual thing, mm-hmm. and I've been putting all of this energy and time into, you know, writing and needing a packet and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, and also the amount of networking that you would have, that I would have to do mm-hmm. in order to get my packet seen. So again, I'm with you. What can I own mm-hmm. that's my creativity? And so I think doing more stand-up, and I've come to the realization, and I've talked to you and the rest of our sketch writing group, which at least one person writes sketch. The rest of us, I think, are
Susan's
there
for, the only one that writes sketch.
She, and like doing the dang
yeah,
thing.
And then
you know Kelsey what I mean?
Brings in like great pieces.
Kelsey's writing books.
Yeah, you know I know. What I mean? Like,
that woman is next level. So yeah, I love that. And we have a podcast. But yeah. Anyway.
That just came back on here.
Yeah. It's perfect. We're all doing great. But I'm with you. Like, what can I do? So stand-up is great because that's performance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, would I love to have, like, a regular improv set? Totally. Absolutely. But I'm really starting to think of what can I do that's mine?
Yeah.
Right? And I absolutely do love performing. So is that open mic nights that aren't just for stand-up, because I don't like the open mic scene, at least the ones that I've gone to mm-hmm. out here, because it's just, I mean, it's like 80 to 90% dudes. It's like the lowest hanging fruit of, like, quote unquote edgy comedy, which is just racism and homophobia mm. and transphobia and of course misogyny. Who can
forget
fail
that?
To ring that bell. Yeah, exactly. It's just so good. My open mic night, I think, where I would be more comfortable is the one where, like, a poet goes on before me, and then, you know, immediately afterwards uh-huh. it's like a five-piece family jug band or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I think I thrive in the more supportive, kind of, I guess, weirder, you know, spots. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the antagonistic environment of the open mic nights that I've been going to. I just am like, and I know people will say or could say that as a stand-up, you need to be able to sell any room, but I'm just like, I don't think I have to. You know what I mean? Like, I was listening to Caleb Herron on a podcast recently, mm-hmm. and he was saying that when he was starting out, he went to a couple of open mic nights and was like, oh, this isn't for me. And then started putting on shows that was like him and a musician friend of his. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the musician friend would do a couple songs and then he'd do a couple jokes and then they do a couple songs and he'd do it. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Why can't I maybe put on an evening mm-hmm. of comedy or variety or whatever? And I think I've been looking to make that happen with other people, like have a co-producer of the event.
Cool.
And which is great, but I also feel like maybe that's not necessary, you know? Maybe this is something that I just kind of try on my own, and then when people are interested and want to be a part of it, I am more than, you know, yeah. happy to have somebody else to work on it with. Yeah. So that's a current thought. And then I also have, like, these other thoughts of maybe I just do weird little videos that I put up or something like that. But I just talked a lot and I'm about to talk more because I want to talk about my stand-up
experience. Yeah, okay. I want you to, because I watched it.
Yeah, you did.
And you were amazing, by the way. And I was shocked that you didn't write it out. You were, it was just like, I mean, you had kind of an idea, but it was fully structured on the fly, which is amazing. And
thank you.
It was so funny. I don't mean to, like, make you blush.
No.
Okay. Like, because it was really good and I was laughing. And so that's really? The kind of, yeah, yeah. Usually you want to have laughs in a stand-up set. Yes.
Okay, I'm learning a lot this episode. And I'm taking notes. I'm writing it all down. So I have OCD.
Yeah.
Laughs are good.
Yeah. And you could tell your nervous energy because you were doing a little bit of leg stretching bouncing. Or something.
Yeah, like my leg was constantly bouncing.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what the leg's doing, but it's not distracting me because the jokes were funny. And so that's good. And so, yeah.
Holy shit. Thank you. So, yeah, truly, when I got off the stage, I was like, fuck, I wish that Heather and Susan Kelsey were there because I value your guys' opinion so much. So that really means a lot to me. Aww. Thank you.
Yeah. Now that I made you cry.
I know, not to be vulnerable, but I am tearing up a little bit. Yeah, man. My stepsister, thank God, she filmed it. And I did not know that she was going to film it. In fact, she told me that she that she did when I got off the stage and I was like, what?
Didn't you see me black out in the middle of the floor? Yeah, like I was totally there just flopping around.
Exactly. I was like, how dare you? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. No, I'm so thankful that she did. Yeah, because this is the other thing. I have realized, shocking, that perfectionism should come into my process, that I thought that I had to have a written out and memorized set. And it was so much pressure. And because of my ADHD or whatever else, that just wasn't happening for me. And I was like, see, you are such a failure at being a comic because you can't write out a set. Or if I did write out a set, then I could memorize it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then again, man, podcasts are so helpful. I was listening to Mark Maron talk about his process and he's like, I don't write down anything. I get up on stage. I have a couple of ideas of like jokes at work. And then I just kind of talk about whatever's on my mind. And he's like, and then I start to coalesce like, here's the idea. Here's the next idea. And then I can bring that to the next show. But he doesn't write down anything, or he writes down very, very little. Mm. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's it. That's the process for me. And so it so I performed at this women's weekend, which was so incredibly lovely. The whole weekend was fantastic. There's women like, I don't know, 18 or so to like 90 plus. Like, wow. I mean, just a ton of women, 150 or so, all different ages. And it was, I would say, upper 40s Fahrenheit out there. Wow. It was cold. And we were on these beautiful but incredibly uncomfortable benches. My best friend Kate, like a few hours before, was like, there's the sign up sheet for the open mic. You should go sign up. And I was like, no, I don't. And she was like, go sign up. And I
was like, right,
yay, go. Kate. Yay, Kate. Yeah, big shout out, Kate. So that's what I did. And then I tried not to think about it too much. Mm. Both what it would mean, because that's exactly what my OCD wanted to think about. Like, let's ascribe so much meaning to this set as to whether or not I make it. And what even is making it? You know what I mean? True. Like, I don't know. So that part. And then also, like, periodically, I would think, oh, yeah, that's kind of a funny anecdote. You know, or what has made my friends laugh this weekend, or, you know, what have you. So, yeah. And then I had a few ideas. And then when I got on stage, I was like feeling out what would work with that audience. Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But the way you structured it, it felt it was thought through.
Hey.
Yeah, it did.
Thank you.
The way that you transitioned between. I don't know how much you want to share.
Oh, we can share. Whatever. That's fine.
No, but it's the way that you transitioned, you kept the subject matter very, like, similar.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you transitioned between, like, it's almost like, in my mind, it's like scenes, but they're, like, parts of your set, right? And then, and then they transition between made sense. Like, it felt like It felt like you
coherent.
Yeah, it felt coherent. It felt like you practiced it, but not in a way that didn't feel natural. That was the thing. I was like, you really sold, like, you know, I'm natural, I'm doing this, you know, and it was really like, I don't know. I was like, yeah, Gabby, this is a thing. This is a thing you should be doing.
Yeah.
More often.
That's what it felt like for me too. Yeah. I was like, oh shit. I mean, do I already have some ideas of like, oh, I should flip the two bits because the one that got the stronger laugh was in the front and I think that should go in the back. And then I was pretty happy with my presence on stage, but I was like, oh, a big thank you at the end, a very confident thank you, I think is a good way to leave a set, as opposed to, I mean, what I did was fine, but I just, you know, there's that thing in improv where the audience has a really hard time watching characters who are self-conscious and unsure of themselves.
Oh, just like me.
But like, there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there is.
But if you go on stage and you're like, yeah, it makes the audience feel the exact same way. Mm-hmm. Right. And then they're like nervous for you and they're worried about you and they want you to be okay. And that's not necessarily a place of laughter.
Yeah. Unless you have a really mean crowd.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Unless it's the open mic night crowd, in which case I'm sure that's like perfect. They would be like, yes, crush their soul. But yeah, I feel like I did some of that, but I was like, oh, I could do more. Like, there's this interesting part of me that's like, no, you have to be apologetic, Gabby, on stage because you're taking up people's time or something, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's your own misogyny.
Thank you. Finally.
No, I just mean like, you know, the thing is that nothing really, there's no rules about things. And right? I think when you have the stage, you could take up as much space as you would like.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cause I think
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so this is another reason why I was really happy that my stepsister taped it. Shout out Jules. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, oh shit. Like, I want to see that person on stage. Like, I think my nervous tics were fine. Like, my leg was bouncing for the first part and it was also freezing cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like seeing somebody get on stage and just be like, hi, like, I'm meant to be up here. You're meant to be watching me. Nobody's doing anything wrong right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're about to have a real good time.
Yeah. And I think I think you did that. I think you accomplished that. I mean, and it's hard to believe that that was like how many years ago when the last time you did stand up?
Oh, I know. I was trying to think of when I went to visit Susan. I think it was 22. So we're going on 3 years almost exactly. Yeah. It was 22 or 23. So yeah, either 2 or 3 years. But I like to say I'm an international comic because the one time I did.
The first time you did stand up.
Calgary.
In Calgary. Yeah.
And now Yosemite. Mm-hmm. So really the biggest, the brightest. Mm-hmm. The other piece was I realized my stand-up was a little bit blue. And it's interesting to like, I don't know. All of this is to say, blah, 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 blah. All of this is to say, thank you so much. I feel like I kept it cohesive as well.
You did.
I think, yeah, a lot of that is also just like the speed to which my brain works and just how natural it feels to be on stage. And I just can kind of see like, oh, this next piece goes here and this next piece goes here and this next piece goes here. But I can only see it really in the moment. When I try and like write it all down and memorize it, it's so much harder for me to like visualize how it all fits together. And God bless people who do, but that I, you know, it's just not my process and that's okay.
Yeah.
And when I got off stage, what was insane was I couldn't walk 3 steps before somebody was like gushing about how much they loved it and how much they had like a full belly laugh, which was awesome because this was going to be an incredibly supportive audience that was going to like clap and give me props no matter what. Mm-hmm. But like the fact that they actually laughed
Yeah.
was awesome. And then for the rest of the weekend, I had people coming up and asking for my mailing list, asking when I'm performing again, telling me like to let them all know. I know, dude. So it's like,
dude,
okay, wait a minute.
Gabby, we got to make you a website.
Squarespace, get at us. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, wait, I could put on an event in the Bay Area, not only just based on these people, but like the other camp people who have basically seen me perform throughout the years and who have told me, like, I would come see a performance of yours. And it's like, well, fuck, if I already have a built-in audience and I'm doing okay financially for like the first time ever, then maybe the idea of putting on an event isn't so far-fetched.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the thought.
It sounds like a good thought.
So, thank you. So that's what I want to do. Yeah. No big whoop.
just my dreams. Just, you know, dreams. Just living my dreams. It's living fine. The dream.
It's whatever.
Come on.
It's so cool. It's totally fine.
I'm not going to hide out under a blanket, you know, during the day.
Just because I've had to do this entire podcast from under a blanket. Yeah. Take that as meaning.
This is just a new look that I'm going with.
Thank you.
It's a fashion choice.
Yeah. I call it comfy. That's a shout out to my stand-up routine. I don't know if I want to put it out for everybody, but.
Yeah, understood. But
you know what's interesting is I did send it to a fella or two that I am seeing. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. Like, first of all, they all loved it, obviously. but like a couple of them were also saying, oh, I remember when you said that joke to me. And it's like, yeah, it comes from my life.
Where do you think jokes come from?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like where babies come from.
Yeah, exactly. Right up the hoo-ha. That's where they all come from. Yeah, man.
Just don't call it a placenta. I know. Let's not talk politically. Okay.
No, it's fine. Do you remember when Elizabeth Banks started that women comedy company called Hoo Ha Ha?
Vaguely.
Yeah. I remember her talking about it on like The Daily Show or I don't remember, or mm-hmm. The Late Whatever Show. And I was like, oh, this is such a genius idea. And then they said the name of it. And I was like, it's never going to go anywhere. Sorry, I said that right when you
right when I drink water. Yeah.
But truly, hoo ha ha.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, where'd you see that funny thing? Oh, on hoo ha ha. No. Mm-mm.
No, thank you. No. I don't want to see your hoo ha ha.
No, I don't want to see your hoo ha. And you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of Al Pacino. Yeah, exactly. Hoo-ha. And I'm like, that's not what I want.
No.
For lady comedy.
No. Although now I have a weird visual in my head for some odd reason, and I don't think I should say it out loud.
What I would love is if both of us just drew it out real quick, because I also have a visual, and then at the count of three, we just like showed each other. But... Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Audience, write in. Uh-huh. All right. You know what? Take a photo of whatever it is that you draw from that made. Yep. And mm-hmm. then just put it in the comments. Doesn't matter where. Spotify. Get ready for some really good.
Yeah. Well, we'll just see them, you know.
Yeah. We'll just see them. It'll be our new logo. It's fine.
It'll be great. It'll be great.
So. Okay, so we've stated some like goals. I'm trying to remember how this podcast works.
We don't have a format. We talked about having a format because I was trying to figure out how to do this. And then I was thinking that's not how we work.
See, again, writing it down, it just ruins the flow.
Yeah. Although I do like having millions of pieces of paper with random notes on them and then find them like 3 years later and go, I don't know what this means.
Oh my God. I just recycled a post-it that I'm pretty sure had suggestions from our sketch group of like sketches I should write. And one of them was just like Pasta Man or something. And I was like, nope, not a fucking clue. Pasta Man.
Is he meant to be eaten or does he make food for you?
I don't know. It's Pasta Man. He's coming or he's going. There he goes.
Yep. Yep. Pasta Man.
Pasta Man. Maybe he's got his cape and it's like one of those macaroni art things that you do like in kindergarten. It just like crinkles and pasta just kind of falls off wherever he goes.
Yeah, that sounds great, Gabby.
Thank you.
You need to write that.
Okay, maybe I'm going to write it down back on a piece of paper. That I will recycle in 6 months. Mm-hmm. Pasta Man. What the fuck?
It's just your brilliant idea, you know?
Yeah. Come back. I know. Gone to the ether. Yeah. 100%. So I was thinking we do goals. Do we talk about steps we want to take towards those goals? Do we take a moment and check in about our mentals? What are you feeling?
I guess we could. I guess right now I'm in this limbo space where I'm still trying to figure out my goals. And so I guess maybe
You don't want to talk about steps if you don't know what the goals are.
Well, I mean, I could talk about like things that I'm thinking about and then.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Cause in our group text chain, I wrote like a tiny sketch. Like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a tiny sketch and it was. And then Susan made a comment, said, you should film that. And I sat there and the first thought I had was, But then it started this ball rolling because I started thinking about like what I would do. And I remember I talked about this in an earlier podcast episode. Then it just kind of died with a bunch of things that, you know, usually die, you know, when it comes up. But I am looking into teaching myself some motion graphics or animation. And it's something that...
You did that Trump pooping on the protesters animation. That was you?
Yeah, I'm AI.
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
Sora or whatever the fuck that is. But
this is going to be a real timely joke.
Yeah. I know. There's going to be 3 million other things that happen by the time this airs.
By the time this airs, they're going to be like, Trump did take a poop on some Americans and filmed it. And we all just went along with it.
Because we saw it before.
Yeah, totally.
But I've been thinking about like what I want to do creatively and for comedy. And something that really inspired me was, you know, our friend group really inspires me. And
same.
And the ownership of things, you know, like, for example, like Susan, you know, doing her own sketch show, Got MILF. And
which everybody should check out on Roku.
Oh, yeah. And then filming it. And then it got turned into a special, you know. And so, and then, you know, yeah, it's all over Roku now. And it's hilarious. And so I started thinking, like, what's my version of that, like, that I can do and make?
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about that. And so part of that has been, you know, doing some animations and potentially, you know, not that I want to be an animator, although there was a portion of my life that I thought I would be a cartoonist. I don't know. I'm getting back into it and learning some programs. And so, not just to distract myself, but to legitimately like think about how to make something, because it's like that Ira Glass quote that I'm going to misquote.
Perfect.
Which is, you know, you have good taste, but you don't know how to make it good yet. So like I have this like vision of like how I want it to look and how I want it to feel and and all this other stuff, but I don't know how to make it work
yet. Yeah. There's that learning curve in between those two points.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, yeah, the learning curve is very, I mean, it's not super steep because some of these programs I used to play with back in the day. And so it's like coming back to the latest technology of those programs. And also in my mind, the refusal of using like something like Sora or something else, you know, to create this stuff. Because I feel like, one, it's limiting to me. Because it's not exactly what I'm looking for. And two, I don't like taking other people's shit.
You're a terrible capitalist.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Taking other people's shit is dumb.
Yeah, because as AI as a tool is a tool, right? You know, if I'm using it for transcription or whatever, you know, that's fine, but to use it to like scrape people's art, you know, it just no,
doesn't sit with you.
No, it does not.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
well, good for you.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm excited to hear about how it goes with the animation programs. I want, because yeah, it's interesting to think about like stuff that we played with like 10 years ago or 15 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, the company is still around and they're still doing something similar. And it's like, let's see what they did in the intervening years.
Exactly. Exactly. So how about you? What's your plan?
Well, I have two thoughts, right? Three. One is there is an open mic out here that's more, you know, like lute playing. So I'm gonna check that one out.
Cool.
Just writing down my goals here. And then the other one is looking into a venue to put on an event. And actually I have already in my head, like two or three people that I would love to invite to do something there. Like one is somebody who does or has done stand-up in the past and is very funny. One, Kiki, my friend Kiki, who you met, who's just a brilliant creative and, you know, sings and plays music and just does all kinds of stuff. And then this other person that I who performed at the open mic, and I forgot about how brilliant they are as a poet. And I think their artist name is Katie Wolf. And I mean, their poetry just was, oh, it was just like a gut blow. It was amazing. And I was like, yeah, okay, great. You know, and just maybe put on a little variety show and have people come on out. I think I've talked to you about this off mic. There's an improv group in San Francisco that's been there forever called Bats. And I have been meaning to go check them out because I like we were also talking about how routine can be quite useful and grounding. Yeah. And I mean, it's like the difference between a completely blank page and being told, okay, well, this sketch, you have to include like a frog and your Aunt Mary and like three watermelon or whatever it is. And then it's like, oh, okay, there's almost more freedom with the constrictions.
You know? Yeah, with that little structure put in place.
Yeah. So those are my three things.
Oh, sounds good. Very ambitious.
That's true, huh? Maybe I should slow down.
They could be a year goal.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, the thing is like, I just want to go to the open mic night. I would like to maybe talk to these performers. And I would like to go to a show at Bats.
Yeah,
you know, good. Yeah, sort of. Some of these are more passive items, but still nonetheless exciting. Do you want to get into mentals or... You want to talk some more about comedy?
I guess, I mean, we could talk about mentals if you want to talk about it for,
we don't have to. It's on, I just, My ADHD therapist is on maternity leave until the new year. And previous to that, my OCD group, who I've been going to for, I don't know, 5 years or so, is at a time when a lot of kids want tutoring. Mm. So, and I was only going like twice a month. And then I was like canceling one of those. So I was going like maybe once a month. And I feel very lucky that I'm in sort of a maintenance phase with the OCD. Mm-hmm. But my psychiatrist did point out in our last session, she was like, okay, so you don't have any therapists or any groups right now. And I was like, nope. And she was like, okay, well, you know, because Kaiser apparently now does do outside of their people therapy, like regular therapy that they cover. Mm. So that's a possibility. I've probably said it on this show, but it's interesting the amount that money plays into all of my anxieties and honestly depression and the various manifestations of those.
Yeah, of course.
Because now that I am making a livable wage for the first time in 10 years and I'm not like scraping by paycheck to paycheck, living this lavish lifestyle of a car that's from 2002 and an apartment that until recently had cockroaches. Not to make people super jealous. So it's been quite lovely being able to pay my bills like even before they're due. Mm-hmm. And just not having to worry day to day about money has alleviated so much stress in my life, which I know is probably obvious. And we talk about, not you and I, but like in general, it's talked about the incredible cost of being poor.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I was poor because I've been, you know, I've had access to college education and I have, you know, family members that I could live with. And I have, you know, I have mm-hmm. a lot of
support.
Yeah, a lot mm-hmm. of support, which is not to say that poor people do. I don't know. It's just, it's interesting to think of like whether I call myself broke or I call myself poor, you know what I mean? And like the semantics. Anyway, let's not go into that. The point is me. I'm doing okay right now. And it's, I really noticed like this time of year is the sad time of year, right? Yeah. This is the time when everything's dark and I start spending more time indoors and I have allergies to dust mites and then I just start to get miserable and, you know, it's just like a self-perpetuating cycle. Mm-hmm. And I honestly feel better than I have in many, many years, despite our country being a dumpster fire. You know, the part that I can control feels good.
That's good. That's great.
Thanks.
That's really good.
It is. And I'm definitely starting up again with my ADHD therapist come the new year, because I really, and again, I don't remember the last time you and I talked about this, but I do think that neurodiversity and OCD, I think that there is like such a, I don't know if it's causation or what, but there's such a huge overlap there. And I think particularly yeah. with women, I don't know what it is, but the more I understand my ADHD, the more I'm like, oh, okay, right? So I see how I developed these like white knuckling tendencies to get me to complete a task from start to finish.
Yeah.
But then that white knuckling turns into OCD mm. and rigid rules and things that I feel like I have to follow everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so like breaking it back to that beginning is like very helpful. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. No, I agree in that sense. I mean, I don't. Yeah. I have lots of thoughts. Mm-hmm. Too many colliding at once to be able to like say things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, how are you? So I'm glad that you feel that kind of safety net. You know, money is a big thing. And so money, you know, yeah. The lack of money can create, you know, undue like, you know, pressures and other. I mean, obviously it would, you know, bring up anxiety and depression and other things like, or at least exacerbate them, you know, like to the, so they're bigger because there's just so much pressure, you know, especially in our current society. And so, yeah. You know, that's just how it is. And then also the areas that we live in tend to be a tad bit more expensive.
Indeed.
And so that's, yeah, our existence. Do you feel like that your OCD, I mean, because you mentioned OCDs in maintenance phase, or at least your OCD is not popping up as often as it used to. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that you've noticed other kind of things like your ADHD or something else popping
up? Oh, yeah. Totally. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it like once I and you and I were talking before we started about trying to figure out what is your voice, what is the OCD voice.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Truly, that is like for me, that was a big first step mm-hmm. In feeling better because once I could delineate mm-hmm. between the two. Then I could make the decision of like, which one of these am I going to pay attention to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But when it was all like, oh, this all must be coming from me, then it was incredibly anxiety producing because the OCD one is just pushing the panic button every single minute. And you're like, oh, we must be in danger. Right. Mm-hmm. And then seeing like, oh, no, that's the little orange guy that's pressing the panic button. Do I want to panic right now? Do I feel like that's necessary? I don't. I feel like doing this other thing that my gut says I want to do, which is macaroni art. We're going to do that. So being in this kind of maintenance phase with that, then it was the exploration of the ADHD. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I would say ACT or just straight up self-compassion mm-hmm. has been super helpful there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to be able to have that conversation with yourself and, you know, giving yourself grace to be able to exist in the world, even if you're not the yes. way that you want to be.
Yes. Exactly that. Yeah. Exactly that.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's like with the stand-up thing. Like when I finally am like, oh, that's not my process. My process is to get on stage and just go. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's yeah. my process.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other stuff is just noise.
Yeah, exactly. And it's and the noise was a lot of me screaming at myself, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, this is not the right way to do it. This is not whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah. And a lot of that is from, you know, being ADHD and being in school. Mm-hmm. And constantly on every progress report, every report card, not living up or not going to her full potential. Mm-hmm. Every single one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And just being like, okay, but I feel like I'm doing my best. And I'm like struggling, you know, because I'm masking so hard.
It takes a lot of a toll on a person to mask
yes.
because it's so much extra effort.
Yes.
To like do anything that seemingly everybody seems to do so easily and, you know, needing to protect yourself or needing to fit in or needing to fit whatever societal norm is to do something, you know, and yeah, it's can yeah. be kind of overwhelming because there's just so much, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So somebody I was dating is like got ADHD, but is also a white man. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me something along the lines, he didn't mean this meanly, but it was something along the lines of like, you have so much more, like a more functional version of ADHD to me. And I said, I'm just much better at masking than you are.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
You're going to take a nap after this.
Yeah, totally. And it's also like the way I was raised was to not only be in charge of my own nervous system, but also be in charge of whoever's nervous system was in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah.
That's exhausting.
It is exhausting. Yeah. Because it's like you're protecting your own. You're not protecting your own internal needs. You're just protecting others. Or at least.
Yeah. In order, like on some level, in order to protect myself.
Yeah. True. Very true.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, again, we were talking off camera about something about like manipulating another person so that they would focus on something else. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know that. I mean, maybe that we could definitely call that manipulation. We could also call that protection.
Yes. Yeah. Well, with the thing that we talked about, it was more of a manipulation because I didn't want. Well, yes, I could see it as protection. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm like starting to like process it a little bit better.
Okay.
But I could see that because it's a way of like not dealing. I guess I could start talking if you, about it if you want. Okay.
If you feel comfortable talking about it. And again, this is our podcast, so we can take out whatever you want.
I know. I know. Yeah. So what Gabby's actually talking about is what I was talking about is basically breaking up with my psychiatrist, which I took an even longer hiatus from than our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because I needed to process what happened. So I think I mentioned this in previous episodes was I broke up with one therapist because she was a talk therapist and it wasn't necessarily good to talk therapy and OCD.
Yeah.
Are not a good combination. It's not a good way of.
Unless you want to spend money.
I know. Unless you want to spend tons and tons of money to not really solve.
No.
Anything. I mean, it's not it's not really about solving. It's more about managing.
Yeah. And or exploring.
Exploring or being a little bit more open and accepting to the way your brain works.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's a better way of putting it than managing. Because managing sounds like you're controlling it, but you literally can't control it.
No.
OCD, you can't control it. You have these weird thoughts and you're like,
maybe.
And all you can do is accept it and, you know, and hopefully move on with your life. Unless your brain attaches to it because subject matters are very sticky.
Yeah.
I could talk about this all day, but, but when it comes to my therapist, or my psychiatrist, I was noticing that we were having some conversations, I didn't feel like we were speaking the same language when we were in session. And I was starting to feel like I wasn't being heard, which, you know, became difficult. And unfortunately for me, my tendency, not just because I'm a woman, but probably because I'm a woman, is to question myself.
Of course.
You know, and have, you know, a bit of openness to, well, not, that's not only a women thing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to gender or anything because,
no,
you know,
it's but, a
spectrum. But anyway.
Yeah, that is our experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my therapist and I, on our last session, I caught myself manipulating him to talk about another subject. Because I didn't want to talk about what was really bothering me.
Which was a thing that you felt that he wasn't hearing you on.
Yes. And it was a subject matter that I felt like he wasn't listening to me on. And I was getting kind of tired of asking again.
Yeah.
And not being heard. And it frustrated me. And a tactic that I used to do with my old therapist was change the subject and get her talking about something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't catch it.
Yeah.
At all.
Right.
And it was surprising because he usually catches, or he used to catch me on my shit all the time.
Sure.
And that's when I realized that my phase of my OCD, or what he was attributing to my OCD, wasn't really my OCD.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't what it wasn't my lived experience, what he was talking about. I mean, I know I'm being very vague, but I'm doing it intentionally because being very self-protective of certain subject matters. Good. But
great.
I felt like that when we were having the conversation, I didn't feel like I was being listened to. And then the things that he was attributing to my OCD did not feel like it was OCD at all.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening was, as you know, as Gabby was stating, it's like the idea of masking. It's like OCD all of a sudden is gone. Like, not gone, but it's just like the noise of it is gone.
Yes.
Basically almost disappeared in my head. And something else I was experiencing was not...
Comes to the forefront.
Yeah, it does come for the forefront. And I found myself unmasking and having interesting, like, I don't know what to say. It's like I had self-confidence. Like, I've built the self-confidence in myself to stop the negative talk and other things that was happening. And with that self-confidence, I'm almost like, I don't know if I want to call it self-possessed or understanding myself a little bit more, that I was like, wait, this is something different. Like, something else is happening and he's not listening to me. And so at that point, I'm like, okay, I think it's time to break up.
Yeah.
But it took like, man, I'm the worst at breaking up, I guess.
No. I mean, maybe. Here, I'm not going to say no, but I'll say what I said off pod, which is you don't take the bread out of the oven if it's not done.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you had to come to the place of realization. It takes as long as it takes.
That, yeah. Thank you for saying that, because that's true. That's true. It does. It does. And it, you know, and I haven't even had the conversation yet with him, so it's going to happen. It's happening, but I'm warming up to it, I guess is what I'm trying to say about the whole subject matter. But it is a difficult thing. I've had a couple other therapists that I've had to break up with, like one in particular. It was kind of like a mutual, like, I think we're good here, you know, and and kind of like, and it wasn't like a bad thing or anything.
No,
just like, you know, I graduated from therapy. Yes,
exactly. All better.
All better. Solved everything. Now we're done. Fixed. Okay. Yeah. We're fixed here. You know? No, but then another therapist, you know, was the last one I saw before this one that I'm currently seeing. And that was just simple because it was, you know, I was like, you know, I'm using this as a compulsion, like our therapy session is literally a compulsion. And so it was hard to like come back to it. Would I go back to talk therapy? I'm not sure. Because I don't know if it's necessary.
I think there's so many modes of therapy.
Yes, there is. Yeah. And I'm not against talk therapy for
anybody else. No. I know you're not. that's what I was just going to say is like, they're different things work for different folks at different phases in their life who are going through different things.
Very true.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it is. And and I do feel like I'm still kind of contemplating the next steps in my mental health journey and what that looks like. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it looks like. I guess is what I'm trying to say. I'm open to like being like free falling a tiny bit.
Yeah, man. I was gonna say, like, you've just come to a realization or a thought that you want to break up with this therapist. That's a great step, you know? And then the step after that, I agree with you. You can trust yourself that you'll figure out what the next step is. You can put it in place now. You can do whatever you want, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's because I've been away from therapy for more than 6 months. And I've had a lot happen between that time. even, you know, panic attacks and other things. And it's very interesting to use the tools that I learned from that therapy, and actually have better care for my panic attacks. Like the last panic attack I had, or at least the panic feeling I had, I was able to get grounded and
amazing.
I know. In a way where I didn't allow it. I didn't allow my brain to go to the place where I'm like, go away, go away,
right.
go away. Right. It finally just kind of went, okay, it's happening. And it's like this place of acceptance. And I'm like, whoa. Like, how do I get there? You know, it's like, but I realized that that's not a solve for every time I have a panic attack.
True.
It's more about, okay, I'm letting it happen.
Yep.
This is happening. And then I just move on and do my whatever I was doing, eating or, or, you know, walking or whatever. So,
yeah.
So that was amazing revelation. Small little baby steps towards, you know,
congratulations.
Kind of thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. That's big.
It is. And then that's
Yeah. No, please.
No, I was going to say, and that's what led me like to thinking about, do I need to have a psychiatrist like I see like all the time, you know, is
right.
You know, and it's been long. You know, maybe there's more of a maintenance phase, but maintenance, like, you know, check-in, but
yeah.
I don't know. Like I'm willing to kind of just let it go and just kind of live and then see if what I need to do for my next steps, whatever that might be. And so, yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Sorry. That was like, felt like I was like really
good.
Serious yeah. talk.
It was. Hey, it's comically exposed. Sometimes we do the exposed part, and that's the serious part. I was going to just quickly say, yeah, one of my best therapy experiences was fairly early on in my OCD journey. This therapist said, tell me what your goals are. I told her, and she said, okay, I think we can put about a 6-month mark on this. Like, if you're willing to do the work, and I think that we can kind of hit that goal and then we can reassess at that point. But I don't believe in never ending therapy. And it was so effing helpful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the thing is, like with your psychiatrist, I'm with you. It's like, I think it's important to have a psychiatrist in your life for those maintenance or check-ins or whatever, be that every 3, 6, every year, 2 years, whatever it is, to have already established a relationship with the psychiatrist, doesn't need to be this one. If they are not serving your current needs anymore, then it is kind of taking up both of your time.
Yeah. And maybe I was being too polite.
Maybe. But also, I feel like your psychiatrist is so ingrained in OCD and OCD work that those are kind of the lenses he views everything. So when you came to him with other thoughts, feelings, symptoms, concerns, what have you, he just kept saying, oh, it's OCD. And it's like, okay, I hear you, but do you hear me?
Right. Yeah. And it was hard to say, no, it feels different. No, that's what OCD wants you to think. And I'm just like, no,
you're like this I'm is a never ending trap.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, it can't all be OCD.
Yeah.
It's like, I have a stomach ache. No, you have OCD. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
No, like, I can have a stomach ache. I can have these other problems, you know, it's like, it's not all encompassing. Yeah. So, yeah.
So I'm proud of you, man.
Thanks. Now I got to do
good realization. Yeah. Oh yeah. We didn't even get into, which, you know, we should probably wind up the pod. Yeah. But, we didn't even get into, I think it's totally fine to ghost. I do. I think that they're trained to know that that happens. I don't think that that's something that you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
But I also don't think you need to pay for an entire session to say goodbye. I do think an email or something is perfectly fine, you know?
Yeah, I think that's my route. I have to now write an email this weekend. So
no, ChatGPT it. Have them write. Chock full of M dashes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have my dentist write one for
yeah,
him. Yeah,
please.
Yeah. Yeah. I see him on Monday. So I was like, could you perfect. Also, like, after, you know, you're done checking my teeth.
Why do I have my mouth?
You're both doctors. You can talk to each other. Yeah,
exactly. Doctor to doctor. Yeah. I think, you know, he'll really appreciate this coming from you more mm-hmm. than me. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, everybody. And Heather. I'm really glad we're back. This was a great check-in, Heather. I love being able to hear where you're at. And I love – I'm really excited for your next comedy steps.
Me too. I'm excited for yours.
Same. Okay, cool. And animation. You're going to become famous. Yep, totally.
By tomorrow. You know,
tomorrow. Yeah. Riyadh next year. Yep. That's you. Wouldn't that be amazing if my like one goal was to headline the Riyadh fucking comedy fest and then I just fucking retire? Like all I'm in it for is blood money.
I thought your goal was gonna be to be hired and then say no thank you and oh, then God. Post it on the internet so that you can feel good about yourself.
No, we just established that money is what I want and need and holds my life together.
It holds your mental health together. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So I think about 55 mil mm-hmm. and then I'll quit the biz. Yeah. You know, I think that's perfectly reasonable. Yeah. And I don't care how many journalist blood I have on my hands. Worth it. Anyway, so yes. I hope our audience is doing well. Don't murder journalists. That's bad. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we've always said that.
Yes.
Yeah. Because. I know only, we don't state it enough, but that is the motto of the podcast. Yeah. Don't murder any journalists today.
Yes. That's the main goal of this podcast.
It is. All of our merch. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for joining us on Comically Exposed. I really hope you have a great day. Heather, I hope you have a great day.
I hope you have a great day too. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the end of the show. This is Gabby Blackman.
And this is Heather Nye.
Thank you for listening to Comically Exposed. We're just a little show with two creators who edit and produce each episode. We appreciate all your support.
If you like what you heard, please follow us on Instagram at comicallyexp.podcast. That's comicallyexp.podcast.
Oh, and check out our website at comicallyexposed.com. That's one word, comicallyexposed.com.
Where you can contact us by text or even leave a voice message.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Also, special thanks to Track Club and Goldenfinch for providing the music.
Thanks for listening. And hey, everybody, today is a great day to expose yourself. Okay, until next time.
In your face, Miriam.